It was operator error. Yeah, thank you guys for your patience. So I, Mary and I, when we were doing the offering there, we just did you see the personality of those kids? I mean, it was just amazing up here, and seeing the excitement, maybe just being up close, and they knew the motions, and I just thought, God, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these young people. So Ben, I will gladly share that, and can't wait to see what God does. I mentioned last night some of the stories I've heard of how God worked in powerful ways here in past years. And we just believe in faith he's doing it again right now. Amen? Let me tell you one story. But first of all, we said three reasons why Jesus is the greatest treasure. And we said the first night, number one, we said is because Jesus is our sanctifier, that he's the one who comes and lives within us, and that we have the very God of the universe, one who speaks the worlds into being, that he comes to live within us so that we are the very house of God. When you go into, on Sunday, you don't walk into church, the church walks into what? Into the building. And when you leave, you're not leaving church, the church is leaving the building. We love Jesus and we thank him for how he's come to live within us. Last night we said, not only is he our Savior and sanctifier, he's our healer. If God does something in your life last night or in the days ahead, you go, you know what? Something changed that night. We would love to hear. There's something about being like the one leper who came back and said, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. Can I share one story from yesterday? So yesterday morning, P was over in the youth tab, and he's talking about the power of prayer. And as they're doing it, there's another. Do you know there's two Jonathan Schaefers here this week? Where's the other Jonathan Schaefer? Where's Jonathan? Right back. Would you stand a second? This is my twin back here, Jonathan Schaefer, right here. Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Jonathan. So Jonathan feels prompted to pray for Pete and Alice's daughter, Charity. Am I getting the story right? This is yesterday morning. He says, "I think we need to pray for Charity." So they begin to pray. And Jonathan felt burdened to pray like all day long. Didn't know that at the very moment that their daughter Charity, who had left here yesterday morning, was driving down through West Virginia, she hit a rainstorm, her car hydroplaned, her car was totaled. And she's on crutches tonight, but Charity made it back. She made it to the hospital. She began to bleed. The first person came, called 911 and said, you're going to be okay, just stay put. Second person who came has some medical knowledge, pressed on the wound on her chest where she was bleeding. Took you, I think, 2 hours to get to the hospital, and car was totaled. But her mom was able to bring her back today, and we are so, not only did God save your dad's life, he saved your life as well. Twice this year, would you stand up a second? We just want to say we're thanking Jesus that he's guarded your life. Yeah. And so grateful for that. We have such a good God, and he's powerful tonight. Tonight we want to look and see Jesus is not only our Savior, our sanctifier, healer. We also say, if you're part of the alliance, you already know what we're going to say about tonight. He is our what? He is our coming King. He's our coming King. There's a day when Jesus is going to come again. And all of the brokenness of this world will be gone forever. All sickness, all disease, divorce, war, all of the craziness, natural disasters, all of it will be gone forever, and we'll be worshiping forever and ever and ever. And sometimes we think, when is it going to happen? I think when I think of that question, I think of when we were growing up, I mentioned that I'm one of nine children. We would get in this Country Squire station wagon to go on vacation. Anybody my age remember a Country Squire station? All right, wow, a number of you. Four thing. Had this fake wood paneling on the side. And that got washed out pretty quickly. But we'd get in this Ford Country Squire, and we would travel like 12 hours to this old cottage that had an outhouse. And you pump the water into the cabin, and we absolutely loved it. So we'd get in the car, and there's like nine of us, kids, mom and dad. It was the day before like car seats and seat belts, everyone wearing them. And 35 minutes into this 12-hour trip, you always knew it was going to happen. Someone in the back would say, hey, Dad, Mom, our what? Are we almost there yet? Right? Are we almost there? Are we almost there? And they go, no, we just began. And we'd start to sing. We'd sing songs, like Ben was talking about. We'd sing songs, and So about another hour later, someone else would, you know, one of the other kids from the back, probably me, would say, Dad, what, are we almost there now? Dad go, no, we're not almost there yet. I'll tell you when we're almost there. You know, I think when we consider the second coming of Jesus, there's that curiosity. We want to know, Jesus, are we almost there? Are we almost there? That's not a bad question to ask. Because even the end of the Bible, the very last chapter, we read this prayer, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? There's a longing, and we know why he doesn't come yet. We're going to talk about that tonight. We can have a part in that. But I'd like us to see how the disciples asked this question. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, the disciples sort of are asking the same question. Jesus, are we almost there? Are we almost there? Matthew chapter 24, Jesus, it's called the Olivet Discord. He's on the Mount of Olives, and he's speaking, and there's all kinds of upheaval and challenges in the world at that time, sort of like our day. And here's what the disciples ask in verse 3, and it says this, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They want to know, right? And in the next verses, Jesus highlights these dashboard indicators that will signal his return. I count at least 8, maybe you'll see more, but let me just read the next verses, and you see how many of them you can catch, all right? Verse 4, here's what it says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. In other words, it's getting close. Verse 9, then you will be handed over to the persecute to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray me and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That sounds a bit like our day, doesn't it? Here's what Jesus says you can expect to happen before his second coming. At least 8 dynamics, I said. Here they are. You'll see these up here. Number 1, false prophets and people who claim to be the Messiah. Just do an internet search, people who claim to be the Messiah, and see what you find. There's a lot. Number 2, you'll see wars and threats of wars. Wow. Russia, Ukraine, Sudan, the U.S. and Iran, and all kinds of stuff. Number 3, there will be an increase in the number of natural disasters. We may not face that to the extent here, but you look at what happened in the Philippines recently, or the earthquake in Venezuela, over 5,000 people killed. I mean, it should. Number 4, more Christians will face persecution for their faith. I mentioned last night, I think it was last night, that my brother Andrew and Esther serve in Burkina Faso. In the last 3 years, they have seen 12 Alliance pastors lose their lives because of their faith. Hundreds of thousands of believers displaced from their homes. Dozens and dozens of believers killed for their faith in Jesus. Many of them have been taught in the Bible school where my brother and sister-in-law teach. More persecutions will see persecution for face persecution for their faith. Number 5, we'll witness a lot of Christians deconstructing their faith. For some of us in this room, that hits us personally. We go, I have someone I love who was so passionate, they left, and Jesus says that's going to happen. It's the beginning of birth pains. Number 6, there will be division and discord among Christians. That doesn't happen at all, does it? Never see that. Yeah, no, there's plenty of disagreement among believers, and maybe you've had tension in your own local church. Number 7, we'll see higher levels of immorality and insensitivity to immorality. We see a lot of that in our country, don't we? That's what Jesus tells us. The list is pretty compelling, isn't it? But there's one more indicator, Jesus says, and you remember one more sign that number eight, what's number eight? Will indicate his return is soon. And this is where you and I come in. A lot of these other things are things that happen to us, natural disasters and wars and rumors of wars. But this last sign is something where we get to participate, and it's Matthew 24, verse 14. And here's where we want to zero in tonight, and it says this. Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to where? All nations. And then the end will come. Then the end will come. Jesus doesn't hide or conceal the light. He doesn't go, well, I'm not really going to tell you what's going to happen. He goes, no, I'll tell you. He tells us plainly. And what Jesus says is both a commission and it's an invitation. So I want us to look at this verse right here, one line at a time, and just see how do you and I play into this? Like, as we leave this place and we say, what if this is the last year at Edinburgh, because next year we're going, hey, we're going to meet in the home that will never, ever end. You can't lose. Either you're going to be at Edinburgh or you're going to be in heaven, right? And they're not quite the same, but you feel the taste of heaven here, right? So number one, our message is clear. It's the good news of Jesus. He says, this gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus entered our broken world, he came on a mission to heal and to restore. So sicknesses are healed. People who are demonized are set free. Chains of addiction are broken. Sins are forgiven. Adoption into his family is made possible. All of our deepest hopes, our deepest longings of our soul. You talk to people even wildly successful and they go, there's something missing. I don't know what it is. Like, I've achieved all my dreams, but I'm still empty. And Jesus came in order to give us, to satisfy the hunger of our souls. Paul talked about that this morning. And in the greatest demonstration of love ever, Jesus comes and he dies on a cross that I deserved. He stretches out his arm to show us how much he loves us. And then he sends his Spirit to come into our lives and he invites us on a mission with him so that our lives can have a bigger purpose. The angels, you remember, announced when Jesus came, the angels say that this is good news of what? Great joy for how many people? All the people. It wasn't just for the people of Israel. Good news of great joy for all people. Which leads to the next line in this verse. Jesus tells us the target audience. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? In the whole world. The whole world is a testimony to people in all nations. That's our commission. Pete's been talking about this. It's people who come to our own area. I met Quan tonight who came decades ago from Vietnam. We have so many people from other countries coming here. Our own people, right? My own background is coming from a different country to this nation. But then we're sent out. And Jesus repeats over and over again that he loves people in every nation, and he wants all of them to come to a knowledge of himself. One example, some say that the Great Commission is probably repeated 5 to 6 times by Jesus. It wasn't like a one-time kind of deal. Jesus didn't want them to miss it. One of those is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And then he says, and to the ends of the earth. So it's local and it's regional and it's global. It's your next door neighbor. It's your colleague at work. It's people across the city. It's the person who comes to the ESL class that you're a part of or that you help to serve. Jesus wants us to reach all people in all nations. People who are like us and people who aren't. To the very ends of the earth. Friends, can we celebrate tonight that the good news is spreading around the world in unlikely places? We heard about it last night, and the ticket was what kind of milk? Camel milk, that's right. How much did it cost? $20 a pint? I think you said that's expensive milk, Pete. But because of Jesus, they said, we're going to take camel milk and we're going to see. Friend, let me tell you some other stories. In West Africa right now, we're seeing a response among a previously unreached people group called the Fulani. They're a nomadic group of herders, shepherds. There's probably 20 to 40 million of them stretched across West Africa. And by God's grace, we're seeing Fulani people come to Christ, not only in West Africa, but even in Columbus, Ohio. We're seeing Fulani who have been transplanted to Ohio come to Jesus. North India, all of India's very predominantly what religion? Hindu, right? The Christians tend to be in the South. Right now, we've been asked as the Alliance family to help train this quickly growing network of house groups. They say there are maybe 1,500 to 2,000 home groups in North India. They said, the gospel is spreading. We just need people to train us. The good news is going out. We could talk about the surprising growth of the church in Mongolia from maybe 300 believers in the 1990s to over 35,000 today. In Albania, even in Iran. When you read the news about Iran, would you pray, God? They say that the growth of Jesus' followers might be one of the greatest percentages of growth in the world today might be in Iran, that there's a dissatisfaction with what Islam has offered and they're coming to Christ. The Spirit of God is at work. Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom, this good news that he came, that we can be reconciled to our Father, he says, that's good news. I want to be proclaimed in the whole world to every nation. Sometimes it's the most unlikely people. One of the most moving stories or encounters I had this past year was being in Indonesia about 4 months ago. They asked me to come and speak at what they would sort of like, we have a general council every other year. They have something similar that they call Konas, and there's probably 3,000 churches of the Alliance in Indonesia. So we met at a place called Makassar, and it was just exciting to see so many different languages in Indonesia all gathering together. While we were there, a group of about six missionaries said, hey, we have a place we want to take you. So we travel up about 2 hours to a place that it's called, I wrote it down here, it's called Benteng Tinggi. And you go up and you get up to this top of this, like the foothills, and it's a place where a couple, the first Alliance couple to go into Indonesia in 1928, Robert and Minnie Jaffrey, landed. And they built this home there, still standing today. And they brought probably 30 Chinese believers with them because they had previously served in China, brought these Chinese believers. They begin to tell people about Jesus. They have other American missionaries who come. 1942, the Japanese invade Indonesia like they did so many other countries. And it was a terrible time of suffering for the Japanese people. The Alliance missionaries found their way to that house from their various cities and towns. And they said, we're going to hang out here and we'll see how long we can last. And they made it for a number of weeks until the Japanese discovered where they were and they came. And what happened in the following weeks and 2 years was brutal. And that day, 4 months ago, we planted a little sapling for all 9 of our Alliance people from the States who were killed in that time. And we just said, Jesus, these people offered their lives to you. Some were sent to prison camps. One was a woman whose name was Darlene Deibler. She was 26 years old, a fairly young Alliance missionary. Her husband and she were sent to 2 different camps. And about 2 years in, a woman who was a fellow prisoner came and said, I want to take a walk. And on the walk, she said, Darlene, I need you to know that 3 months ago, your husband died. And she said, my heart sank. She hadn't seen her husband in 2 years. She thought, we're going to be reunited. We're going to continue. And she said, I just felt like, where's God? But she said, I knew I nowhere else to turn. Well, the prison, the officer, Japanese officer in charge of the prison is watching out the window because he had sent the other woman and said, I want you to tell Darlene her husband is dead. So when Darlene's coming back, he calls her into his office. He says, Darlene, and they said he was a brutal man, but he had a little bit of a tad bit of tenderness for her. He said, Darlene, when this war is over, you're going to go back to America. You're going to start a new life. You're only in your 20s. And Darlene, after he went out for a little bit, she responded. She said, Mr. Yamiji was his name, Officer Yamiji. She said, I want you to know I don't hate you. Jesus has poured out his love into my heart, and he loves you too. And he wants you to have a relationship with him, and you can, and he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. He was so stunned, she said, as she spoke, she saw tears begin to come down the cheeks of this hardened man. Embarrassed, he sort of went out of the room and didn't know what to do. And she said, I wasn't supposed to leave the room until he gave me permission, but it was almost an hour, and I finally left the room. Darlene made it out alive. She actually continued in ministry for decades in Indonesia. She remarried. But the story for Mr. Yemiji was not over. She found out later that he had, after the war, went back to Japan, had surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, and went on the radio to tell other Japanese people that Jesus loves you and he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done, and you can know him in a personal way. Friends, God is so merciful, isn't he? That this gospel of the kingdom, means that it's not your good works versus your bad. We'll never make it if it's how much good I do. But he can take the most hardened person like Mr. Yemiji and can melt their hearts and draw them near. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony in the whole world to all nations, including Mr. Yemiji and Fulani people in West Africa and the Somalians who are in everybody. And when the final people group is reached, this is the third part. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached everywhere, and then what will happen? Then the end will come. Friends, it's the biggest sign that we're almost there, that the good news getting to all people everywhere when the mission is complete is when Jesus will come again. That's our heartbeat as God's people, isn't it? And we just say, God, would you use me? Let me be a part of what you're doing. It's really the heartbeat of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We say it's all of Jesus for what? All the world. All the world. Today we're in 88 countries. There's 24,000 churches. I mentioned last night that 29 of those partner networks are now sending out missionaries. But friends, here's the challenge. If you look at this next slide, I don't know if you can see that, but there are still 3.4 billion people who don't have a clear understanding of what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. They just don't know. They don't know, and that's why we say, Lord, we want to be those who tell them, because good news, listen to this, good news is only good if it gets to people on time. If we find out that, you know, if the Cleveland Clinic or UPMC or wherever, that they come up with a cure for cancer, that cure is only good if what? If that news gets to you, right? If there's someone along and you're like, how in the world can they be dying of cancer? We need to tell them that there's a cure. Jesus has come with the cure. Good news, though, is only good if it gets to people on time. Some of you at the beginning saw me bring a rope up here. I keep this rope in my office as a reminder of something. This rope goes out the door. It goes down Fry Road. It goes out. It doesn't really go that far. But let's just say that this rope goes on and on and on. This rope represents my life and your life and how long our life is. That our life is going to be, you know how long my life in this world is? About that long right there. All the rest of my life right here is, we said it last night, when we've been there, how many years? 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise. But friends, here's the reality. The decisions that we make in this life determine where we're going to what? Spend all the rest of the rope. The decisions we make in this life, yes for Jesus or no. If you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, can I urge you tonight, your life here, this is the dash between the year you were born and the year that you enter the next chapter of your life that will last forever. Death is not the end. It's just a doorway, right? It's the turning of a page. The first decision is to say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. But then to say, Lord, I want that every bit of this little life that I have on the planet will not be used, first of all, to be comfortable or to be to have a just a good life in the eyes of the world. Lord, I want to do everything I can in these few years to help other people say yes to you so their eternity can be with you forever. One of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians 4 when it says, our light and momentary troubles. I think, Paul, how can you say that? But he goes, listen to this. Our light and momentary troubles in this life are achieving for us what kind of a glory? An eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Friends, when you come to this part of your life and you've been in heaven for 5,000 years, 50,000 years, 5 million years, you're going to look back and say, you know what I went through back in planet Earth compared to what I'm having now doesn't even compare to all the wonderful things I'm experiencing today. You know what Jesus would say? He'd say, behold, I'm coming soon. But I want this gospel of the kingdom to be preached in the whole world to people in every nation, and then the end will come. Friends, we want to have his heart, right? That when it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that it's God our Savior wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's one of the reasons I love the Alliance. That's our heartbeat. We just say, God, we want to give as generously as we can in this life to store up treasure for what? For heaven. Every bit of giving we do in this life, we're like investing in the life still to come. When we send, when we go, some of the youth that God's going to raise up who are saying, I, God, would you use me? However you want to use me, God, I want to say yes to you. When I was growing up, there was a time that we'd be saying, are we almost there? We're almost there. And mom or dad would say, we have about 2 miles left to go. And we finally, the car would stop and dad would put it in park. And we were there, right? And it was amazing. And we'd be on a 2-week vacation and we'd say, we don't care if it's an outhouse or pumping the water. This place is amazing. On this little lake up in Canada, in Northern Ontario. Friends, there's going to come a day when the trumpet's going to sound and the voice of the archangel is going to sound. And we're going to see, it says that every eye will see him, right? I don't know how it's going to happen. Anybody see the lightning storm last night after the service was over? It was like every 4 seconds, right? Every eye could see that. I don't know what it's going to be like, but even Jesus says, as lightning goes across the heaven, he says, so every person's going to see me the day I come again. When is it going to happen? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So what would it look like for you to say, Jesus, in whatever years I have right here, I want to be all in for you? If that's you and you say, I'm all in, you're going to hear one day when you cross the threshold from this life to the next, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But I wonder for you, what's the next step of saying yes to Jesus? Maybe you say, God, if you want to send me, there's something in the Alliance called the Give Back Program. For people who retire, are still healthy. We have a couple in our church. He's a police officer. She was a school principal, probably, I don't know, 60 years old. And they serve now in Taiwan for 3 months every year and just help out with Envision at the Cafe Aroma, and they love it. There's other people going to do ESL in West Africa. There are people helping out at guest houses. You might be, you don't have to be 18 years old and say, but maybe you are 18. You say, God, I'm willing to say yes. I'm looking at all you guys over here and I go, you have so much life in front of you. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I can't wait to see what God does through your lives. As you say yes to him, he'll be with you every step of the journey, and you'll never ever regret saying yes to him. They're going to need people to send them, people to give, to pray, to hold the ropes. May we say yes to Jesus here so that we can celebrate for all of eternity. He's coming again. I want to commission you tonight. We have a lady in the church we were sent out from, and her name is Elizabeth. She got married for the first time at 84 years old. I officiated her wedding. It was on TV in Cleveland because she married this PhD guy from NASA, and they're just this delightful couple. His first wife had died, and he was 86, she's 84. She went sea-doing for the first time at 80 years old, and she said, I prayed for 49 years for this man, and God finally answered. Elizabeth signs her letters, Elizabeth the Hope Dealer. She said, my purpose in life is to deal hope wherever I go, hope in Jesus Christ. There's another guy in our church who we're talking about. He goes, well, I'm John. I used to be a dope dealer, and now I'm a hope dealer. And he said, and friends, I want to commission you today as hope dealers. Paul says in Romans chapter 5:15, he says this, verse 13, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with, anybody know the next word? Hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your own. It's rivers of living water from him flowing through you to bring hope to people in your neighborhood, your schools, your extended family, your community, and to the ends of the earth. And when the final people group is reached, Jesus will come again. By the way, you might say, when do we know it's going to happen? It could be tonight. He could come at any time. We don't know, but he does. And we get to be a part of the greatest story being written in the world today. I commission you tonight as hope dealers in his name. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my sisters and brothers here tonight. Lord Jesus, we want it to be that our lives would count for the greatest work that's happening in the world today. Lord, it's not about the size of my 401k or about success in the world's eyes or whatever it might be. Lord, we want that when we get to heaven, that we're going to see people and we'll say, oh my goodness, you mean they're here partly because of I gave, I prayed, I sent, I went. Lord, what a day that will be. So we just tonight say yes to you. Holy Spirit, would you come, fill us so that rivers of living water, your hope, would flow from us to people around us who so desperately need us. So that on the day you come again, Jesus, it'll be a day that for us will be a day of great joy and for so many others as well. We offer you ourselves to whatever you want to do in us and through us for the fame of your name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, let's stand together as the team leads us here tonight.